You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. It was sort of an odd feeling at turning on the TV and seeing Harry Taylor in a car, Jared, going around the outside of
it was
Cadinia Park, because I'm just thinking to myself, I'm not sure I saw Harry Taylor across his illustrious career head on the other side of the boundary line too many times. I mean, the closest he came to the boundary line was, you know, spoiling the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though he was coming to the pine any time. You wouldn't put Harry on the bench.
No, he was never on the bench. He joins us on the line. Harry, are you giddy after the celebratory lap of honour? And this is the second time we've done it. Congratulations on a magnificent career.
It was a bit strange, and you're right. I think I 280 games. I'm not sure how many of them were at Geelong, but I think from my records, I only missed about four games ever at the Geelong Football Club out of the ones that I had, you know, available to play there. So it was a little bit foreign, you know, not actually being out there watching the boys. And when the first quarter was happening, I was like, gee, I wish I could do something about this. But yeah, just a great honour to be able to, you know, go around and see a lot of great people who have supported me throughout my career. I actually hadn't been back to Geelong since leaving Queensland after last year in the hub. So great to catch up with some people again, and certainly to do it with Gary Ablett was something that was very, very special.
And Harry, of those 280 games, how many minutes would you have spent on the bench, do you think? Somewhere between 0 and 10?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. It was usually sort of 96 to 100% game time. I remember Brenton Sanderson, one of my early coaches, he said 1 year, this is going back a few years now, in his time, he played 100% of every single game for the year. Didn't come off the ground once, which was pretty remarkable. I at least got a spell every now and again, so I shouldn't be complaining too much.
How many games did you have played in the midfield, Jared, and basically never have come off?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
Yeah. No, we used to rest.
So you just rest forward?
And rest in the forward pocket, but even that, we didn't rest too often. Just move around and just recover on the jog back to wherever you think the ball was
so
going.
So would you have done a similar amount of Ks to what a modern-day midfielder would do now?
More.
Yeah, because you weren't spending time on the bench.
And also doing, I mean, we're doing much less ballistic running. I mean, I can only go on the feedback that we were given by our science guys, and they were saying we're running about between 18 and 20 Ks a game, but they were,
and the good ones now are running, what, 15, 16?
Oh, I think they're more like 12 to 14, it's high-intensity stuff. So it'd be probably much harder to do the high-intensity stuff than to do the – I'd have to check with Andrew Gaff. Andrew Gaff, I reckon, runs like we used to run, and that is like you're doing a sort of a half marathon. So you're not doing full speed a lot, but you're getting down into defence and you're running forward, et cetera. Speaking of which, Harry, some things became blatantly obvious – when somebody leaves. And right now, you were clearly the magician that made everything work well as far as ball movement.
Oh,
because
yes.
Ball movement right now is the capacity to go from D50 to F50 and through the goals in particular. It's that bit of magic has lost since you left.
Well, I'd like to be able to say it was because of me, but if anyone has watched the Cats over the last few years, it's certainly not the case. I wasn't all that great with ball in hand. Someone who was Matty Scarlett. He was phenomenal as a defender in terms of changing the game from defence to attack and very quickly. So, I mean, I'm sure he'd be pretty frustrated as a current defensive coach with the Cats. But it is probably just something we're struggling a little bit with at the minute. Certainly something I'm sure the coaches are spending a lot of time trying to work out and the players themselves as well. But who knows? Hopefully over the next few weeks, the boys can start to sort of work out a little bit of fluency. I must admit, we weren't actually hitting our foot all that well yesterday for some reason. Whether the balls were a bit flat or something wasn't quite right. But, hopefully we can get that going over the next few weeks.
Can I ask you a question just from your experience? You played in a very dominant era, in fact, a couple of dominant eras, and you would have had guys in the seconds pushing up, coming up, playing well, and then going out again because somebody of your ilk or, say, Gary Ablett or Dangerfield or whoever it was had to come back in. Now, Melbourne are faced with this issue. Tom McDonald, I'm watching the third quarter as we speak on Fox Footy, he's been the best forward on the ground. And yet, because Ben Brown is ready to go, the high-priced recruit, and because Wiedemann kicked seven goals in the reserves, all of a sudden there's this heat coming that they've got to push them in somehow. Now, would you change the formula and the chemistry of Melbourne just because guys are playing well in the twos?
Yeah, it's a great question, and certainly something from a coach philosophical point of view would be something you'd have to spend a bit of time on. My point of view would not. I wouldn't change it. I would keep rewarding the guy who's playing really well, and you know I've got that on the background on the TV too, and I think he's been fantastic in this game, and certainly been pretty good throughout most of this season so far. But we, you know, talk about dominant eras that I played in. We had a couple of guys. Shannon Burns was a really good example. Was a premiership player and a fantastic player for us, but was just always on the edge and couldn't quite break into the team for long periods. Obviously, I had Stevie J and Chapman there and Gary Ablett Jr., so very difficult to break in, but would go back and, you know, kick three or four in the reserves, have 30 touches and play well, but we just couldn't quite find a way to squeeze him in. And we had other great players at that time who just couldn't find their way back in, because for us, it was about just the chemistry with the team and the players we had in there at the time.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. It was a big game coming up, Anzac Day Eve, and they're desperate, I'm sure, to get Wiedemann back. I think Wiedemann may be the best of the three of them, but
I'm finding a way to get him in.
But you're not finding a way to get him in without dropping somebody who doesn't deserve to be dropped. And therein lies the big challenge. So,
I'm going to find someone.
Yeah, well, it's probably the guy that kicked three goals.
But I'm bringing Fritsch back in.
You're bringing Fritsch back in. So therefore, okay, Harry, we've solved this. Melbourne at the moment have got two key forwards in the reserves, and one of them I reckon will be at another club at some stage because you just can't keep all of them together and a couple of them out.
Yeah, it's so tough because you do want, you know, particularly prize recruits, as you said, players you've actually recruited for a reason, for a job to do. You've probably given them some sort of promise, I guess, in the recruiting process. You've sat them down over a wine or a dinner or something and said, look, we want you on our team. You're going to play a lot of games for us. And then suddenly you're playing well in the VFL and you can't get into the team. There's probably, you know, going to question your integrity a little bit at times. But all these difficult conversations, I think, are part of being a great coach and part of being a great manager of people, because there's some really hard conversations that need to be had at AFL level. You just need to work out how best to have them without sort of disrupting a player's, you know, long-term future and certainly the team's short-term future.
So you're missing it, Harry?
Yeah, I am. I certainly am at times. I wake up some days and, you know, wish I was still out there running around with the boys and being able to help on field and, you know, help do some of the things that I love doing off field as well. Sam DeConning plays his first game.
Yeah.
Would have been great to sort of be able to help him through the week. He was pretty nervous and, probably found it a little bit difficult to kick the goal ball through the big stick at times, but would have been great there to be with him sort of throughout the week. And then there's other days where I wake up and I'm sort of pretty content that I'm doing something different because, you know, mentally you think you're still okay, but physically I saw Jeremy Cameron up close at one of the sort of practice or the training sessions before the weekend, and he moves a hell of a lot better than I do, and I'm very fortunate I don't have to play on those sort of guys anymore.
So, Harry, we're not going to do a Cade Simpson and put your hand up for the mid-season draft?
No, I'm pretty happy at the moment, mate. I'm playing a few games for my old club, Northampton, who we unfortunately copped a bit of a cyclone recently and lost our goalpost. So, got a bit of work to do to get all that right, but I'm pretty content just having a run around there at the moment.
Gee, how would you be playing in that league, Jared, just rocking up to play Northampton one day and starting on Harry Taylor?
Well, that would be a bit of a problem. That would be a bit of a problem.
You think, oh, I just,
are you playing forward or are you playing back, Harry? Because normally
half-backs,
normally star backs end up playing forward when they go into retirement.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I'm watching Josh Kennedy from West Coast form pretty closely because he's told me he's going to be coming back at some point as well. So, He's had some really good weeks, probably a little bit quieter last week, but I think overall he's had a sensational start to the season. So keeping a bit of an eye on where he's going to end up, hopefully in a couple of years with the Rams. But it's funny, it's local footy's a bit like it probably was in your day, Jared.
Yep.
People are very much man on man. So if you're, you know, 50, 60 metres away from the ball, you stand next to your opponent. If they go to the canteen, you go with them. So I'm a bit more proactive as a defender these days.
All right.
I tend to probably just probably go where I think the ball's going to end up. A bit more McGovern-like.
Okay.
If, if that makes sense.
I like it. Now, tell me this.
Did Harry just compare himself to McGovern when McGovern really only became McGovern because of Harry? I mean, Harry started the McGovern position, Jerry.
I think he's being self-deprecating.
He's too humble.
I thought he was being self-deprecating. I let it go through to the keeper because I've got a question for Harry before he leaves us. My gut feeling, my memory, and it's fading very rapidly, I've got to say, Harry, is that a great Carlton half-back emanated from Northampton. Or how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's it, Northampton, that's it.
It may have been Northam, but Ken Hunter.
Ken Hunter.
I reckon Hunter came from that way. Now, where's Northampton?
Yeah. So Northampton is 480 kilometres north of Perth.
Yeah, so you're in the Geraldton area.
Yep, just north of Geraldton. So some of the more recent players, Patrick Cripps from Carlton.
Yeah, Cripper.
Jamie Cripps from West Coast.
Yeah.
Josh Kennedy, myself, Liam Anthony played for North Melbourne. We had Paul Hazelby, Freo.
Yep.
Daniel Chick.
Chicky, yep.
And going right back to Andrew Lockyer, who used to play for West Coast.
Yep.
So I haven't actually heard of Ken Hunter, but I certainly know he's from WA.
I reckon it must be Northam.
Played his senior footy with Claremont.
Yep. Where'd he come from?
I think he played his junior football.
Yes.
With Northampton.
Well, there you go.
I reckon. It's Northam or Northampton, I think.
No, sorry. I tell a lie. This is Paddy Cripps talking about Ken Hunter. Cripps said he always wore number 9 in the juniors, playing for Northampton Junior Footy Club.
There's got to be a link there. There's got to be a link. We're going to get to the bottom of it, Harry, but we won't hold you any longer.
No, I'm happy for you to. Yeah, I think they did, you know, some recent surveys and whatever studies and whatnot, and it's one of the highest sort of,
productive areas?
You know, they produce the most footballers per capita.
So the Northampton Footy Factory.
Yeah, that's it. There's only pubs there and a football oval, and there's not much else to do. And when you're under 18, you can't go to the pub, so you end up kicking the footy around quite a bit.
Okay, well, I'm still trying to work out where he's from. Is there a lot of mentions for Western Australia? The Australian football, blah, blah, blah.
We'll work it out, Harry. Great to have you on.
No worries at all. Thanks, guys.
I'll text you when I find out, Harry.
Thanks, Jared.
Harry Taylor there, the great Harry Taylor. Great to see him going around with Harry. With Gary. Gary and Hattie. And that was all for Club Mandalay, the must-play golf course in Melbourne's north.
Well, this is really annoying me. Really annoying me.
We're going to speak to Craig Starcevich next, Jared.
Oh, good.
He is now a premiership coach. He's done it the hard way, but I reckon it was all the more sweeter.